ear, bass on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast, and with me this time around, I've got...
Brandon Bell.
Eric Billingsley.
That's right, so it's just us three this week, mainly because Father's Day weekend, nobody wants to do anything. That's one of the reasons, anyway. Yeah, we got a bunch of nerdy things to talk about. First of all, I want to mention, there's a convention going on in Indianapolis coming up at the end of June. It's Day of the Dead, and they got a lot of people out there. Dario Argento, director, is going to make a rare U.S. appearance at this thing. I remember seeing Suspiria, not the movie, but seeing that promoted, and it's something that intrigued my curiosity, but I never did see the movie. But
Suspiria is one of the best horror movies ever made.
I've never seen the movie, but I remember seeing the trailer for it or something, and it's like, that looks cool.
It's fantastic.
So he's going to be there. Also, Corey Feldman, Tara Reid, John Hurd, and Bill Moseley. I love his stuff in Devil's Reject. Actually, you know, I like the entire cast of Devil's Rejects. That's just a cool movie. And so David Naughton, just a whole bunch of people. Oh, let's see here. Nancy Allen for RoboCop. PJ Souls from Rock and Roll High School is what I remember her most in. But yeah, she was in Halloween. A bunch of people. Stephen Piercy, lead singer of Rat, and Sherry Curry with The Runaways. She's now a chainsaw artist. She's also going to be there. So I wonder if she's going to be doing some of her chainsaw art while there. I wouldn't be surprised if she was. So Tom Savini, special effects guru. And also Lawrence Harvey, Human Centipede 2 and 3. movies that I just refuse to see, Alex. I just don't think I could see that. Now, I've heard one is artistic, but 2 and 3 just should never been made. But anyway, let's see. So that's going to be at the end of June in Indianapolis, June 27th through the 29th. One of our compadres that went to Indie PopCon is going to be going to that. Maybe I can get him to report on it for us. So anyway, let's get on with the podcast. I got a bunch of stuff to talk about. I know we got some things to say. That's why we're here. I'll start out, first of all, with movies. I've got a couple movies to mention here. First of all, the best-selling Sega video game ever, Sonic the Hedgehog, is coming to the big screen, guys.
I can't believe this.
I know. It's going to be a mix of CGI and live action. And basically, everybody's spiky blue speed demon. Yeah, he's coming to the screen. Best-selling video game ever. I mean, I'm trying to remember. I saw a quote, 140 million games in more than two decades have been sold on this Sonic the Hedgehog. Now, here's the thing. Sony Pictures and 22 Jump Street producer Neil Moritz, they're adapting the video game to movie. So I'm wondering how that's going to be. I have a feeling it's going to be more leaning towards comedy because it's going to Evan Susser and Van Robichaux of Upright Citizens Brigade, they're going to be handling the screenplay. So I'm thinking they're going to be leaning a lot more to comedy on this one. Yeah, live action, computer animation, Dr. Eggman will be there. He's this mad scientist nemesis. He's going to be featured in this story. And some characters from Sonic's world have not yet been announced, but we just know, or I hope anyway, they have Shadow. That's my case. I hope they have Shadow.
Shadow is the man.
Yeah, he's like the best character they ever created in that series. Let's see here. Also, one of the quotes, Sony Pictures President Hannah Minghella, she said, "We're looking to capture everything that generations of fans know and love about Sonic, while also growing his audience wider than ever before." So they're wanting to capture new people, as well as they're going to stick with, hopefully they'll do it right and keep the fans, original fans, loving it. Because if you could ruin a good thing if they make a bad movie. Now, there's no word on the release date yet, but, start saving your little golden rings so you can get that in, cash those in later. But that's good news, I think, but it's interesting news. Like I said, you got a lot of fans, diehard Sonic fans, that, you could ruin it pretty easily. There's a few cartoons that were released that a lot of fans can't stand, so we'll see.
Yeah. There's a couple of them that were pretty good, though.
Oh, yeah, they did some good ones. I mean, even with Urkel doing the voice of Sonic, it was all right.
And saying it. That one, the one where it's supposedly Sonic and he has like a brother and sister, I did not care for that.
Yeah, that was, they kind of went away from the premise of the whole, about what Sonic is anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it had to do with music and...
Yeah. Well, then again, you got to realize, I mean, it's just Sonic the Hedgehog. It's just a silly character in a video game.
Yeah.
But you can. I mean, all in all, you got to
disappoint fans no matter what iteration you put him in.
Exactly. Look at the people that were upset about Star Trek Into Darkness. So.
Oh, my God. I can't even. That was such a good movie. I can't even believe that.
See, Eric?
I liked it. But boy, the Tims, they do not.
Yeah, you're lucky you're not on here with the Tims. They would. You'd hear some serious groans from those guys.
I the debate by going shh. I can't hear you. Shh.
That might work. All right, now other movie news. Check this out, guys. Jason Momoa has been slated to play Aquaman in the Batman v. Or Superman, or is it Superman v. Batman? Anyway, either way, it's the Dawn of Justice. So, with that subtitle, Dawn of Justice, you know they're gearing up for a Justice League, especially now that they've got Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Cyborg cast.
Yeah.
You know they're building up. Now, it's not... Okay, now I'm going to throw out some theories here. It's not been confirmed as to any, you know, measure of what kind of a role Aquaman will be playing in this movie. But, from what I understand, you know, one of the big things... And here's the way I see this new movie going. One of the big things about the ending of Superman was the fact that there was just no justice when he killed General Zod. A lot of people are upset that Superman doesn't do that. He does not kill. Now wait, don't die. No, Brandon, you're chomping at the bit here. Hold on a second. there was no justice. That was totally out of character. You know, a lot of fans were upset about that. But here's the way I see this. I see this as all of a sudden... There are other superheroes. Well, there have been other superheroes in the world, and they see this, you know, cast on CNN worldwide, so to speak, where he kills General Zod, and they're going to be saying, you don't do that. And so I think that is where Batman's coming in. That's where Batman says, hey, justice must be delivered. You do not do that. That makes you a bad guy. So I think that's what they're going to play on, is the justice for Superman doing what he did, or him getting justice. And I also... I'm throwing in the Aquaman feature because you remember that, what was the name of that earth-destroying thing they had? Remember how it destroyed the Indian Ocean?
Yeah.
I think that's where Aquaman's coming in. I think Aquaman was going to be saying, hey, you guys need to fix this?
Yeah, the terraformer? Or
yeah, yeah. Oh. So I'm thinking that he's going to be, you know, somehow, he may not have a huge role, but I have a feeling that that's going to be what it's related to. So,
you know, as long as they don't make it the old crappy Aquaman that all he had was breathe underwater and telepathy and make it the new cool one with the magic and all that.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. With the trident.
Aquaman, go stop that shark over there before it does something, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, if they do it right, they will have the new, with the trident and all that good stuff. So yeah. I'm hoping anyway. Yeah, you're right on that aspect. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's lots of, you can throw out lots of theory and speculation and everything, but we won't know until we know.
I don't know. It sounds to me like they've got more superheroes in this movie than they really need.
Oh, I hear that's funny.
Sorry, couldn't resist.
All right, let's move on to why we brought Brandon in on this one for sure today. Our resident DC comic books especially, but also he branches out. our comic book expert, Brandon. What you got to bring new to the table this week, Brandon?
Gee, I have been trying to catch up on a little bit of things here and there, Marvel and DC alike, mm-hmm. which currently I am trying to catch up on the new Ultimates, Miles Morales' group from the Ultimate Spider-Man, and I'm trying to catch up on the Ultimate Spider-Man Miles Morales series. There are only two issues in on each one of them right now, and I'm on the second issue, actually, both of them. He's got me very intrigued as a character.
Yeah, well, I always loved the Miles Morales character. In fact, I think, Brandon, you were the one that got me to read that that series, the whole Ultimate Spider-Man series when Miles Morales was the Spider-Man, and I was like, they really did a good job. He plays the great responsibility aspect really well. The thing about it, I thought they were done with it when they ended all that cataclysm and stuff, you know? But I guess, that's where I kind of left off, and I'm like, oh, they can't. I was upset because it looked like they were going to kill off Miles Morales, and that was all the Ultimates, but I guess not.
Well, see, what they did was they kind of, you know, how the Ultimates were always their own separate universe. Like, they had, like, Ultimate Avengers and Ultimate Spider-Man and all that. What they did was they kind of stopped them series, but brought them into the continuation of the Marvel multiverse, an actual part of their universes. So they're not their own separate thing. They're in with the big...
All
it's kind of with the new 52, you know. There was all these other versions and stuff, and then they kind of brought them in to wrap them into their universe like they did with Batman Beyond.
Oh.
That's what they did with Batman Beyond recently, is they brought them into the new 52 to put that universe into their whole strain, their actual mainstream, instead of it being its own separate thing. Yeah, so Batman Beyond's going on right now, too.
Yeah, I remember in Free Comic Book Day, he was in that. Batman, yeah. He brought it together.
It's called Future's End. It's a new thing they're doing over across thing with something to do with the future and how it's going to end from the title. I read the Zero issue, and it seems like it's going to be pretty good. But I'm more interested in the Justice League Beyond comic right now, which I want to read this, because do you guys remember the Justice League animated Justice League Unlimited and all that?
Yeah.
They are bringing some villains back in the Justice League Beyond 2.0 comic book, which ties into the Justice League animated series. It's the Justice Lords. Do you remember that?
No, not at all.
That was in that first few season, whatever. The Justice Lords, which were basically, they were still good guys in their universe, but they to be their ultimate protectors, but they pretty much become like dictators in a way. So like Superman, Wonder Woman, all of them, they just kind of ruled the world evilly. They did it to protect everybody, and they tried to come over to the Justice League universe to do what they did. They said, wow, look at their tower. Their tower is too weak, and they started adding weapons to it and stuff like that. They had knocked them out of commission for a little bit. They're getting ready to make an appearance in Justice League Beyond, and I want to read that because it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. I'm trying to catch up on my normal Green Lantern.
Oh, yeah. There are way too many Lantern books out there, by the way, because I love them, and they're all great. But they're hard to keep up with.
Yeah, but now they had to go and add another one to the fray.
What, Sinestro?
Sinestro's got his own book now.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, oh, man.
And I'm like, ooh, Sinestro. The other thing that I've kind of been following is that I kind of wandered up on is called, it's a project by Grant Morrison called The Multiversity, where it's going to travel to other Earth and see like the Justice Leagues of the other Earth, superheroes from the other Earths.
Well, see, I thought that was the whole point of the New 52, was to break down all those multiverses and bring them all into one play and get rid of all that.
This is just a side project that he's doing, which it's got their own like one-shot stories.
Oh, I see.
They've been showing off previews of like a one with a demon looking Green Lantern and with Dr. Fate taking down some zombies, it looks like.
You always got to add zombies. That'll get people excited. Cool enough on that. Let's see here. I'll tell you one thing I wanted to... I've got them saved up. I don't know how many books there are to it. I've got two of them so far for the Deadpool versus Carnage. I want to save them and make sure that I get all of them together. I want to read them all at once because I love both of those characters, Deadpool and Carnage. And those two, it's going to be a cool series. I just can't wait to get it.
I think it's supposed to be like a 4 or 5-parter.
Okay.
But I want to check it out too. I mean, that's something I heard about recently, and I want to check them about a Deadpool symbiote thing.
Yeah, I know. It's got me intrigued. But they announced that, and when the first two came out, I made sure and got those immediately, and then got them on Comixology. And actually, as a matter of fact, Eric, remember talking about the Henchman comic from Indie PopCon? I finally got that this weekend on Comixology, so I'm getting ready to read that full. We got to meet the writers and artists for that comic at the Indie PopCon, and I finally got it downloaded on Comixology, so I'm really good to go.
So far, I see Deadpool versus Carnage is 4 issues. So.
4 issues? Okay.
Yeah.
So I've got the first two. I have not even cracked them open at all until I get all of them together, because I know I'm going to read them all at one time, one sitting. Because it's just, and I heard something about basically it's going to be kind of like a Natural Born Killers style of basically Deadpool's going to be hunting him down as Carnage is on the road killing people. So it ought to be interesting. Oh yeah, I wanted to mention this though. One thing I'm curious about is how they're going to talk about Cletus Kasady being Carnage when Cletus Kasady was taken into space, blown into little bitty teeny tiny pieces, and no longer allowed to return to the Marvel Universe. Apparently they didn't work. Well then, let's move on to, I guess, well, actually, Eric, you've got big news that something happened to you this weekend.
Yes, I just a few hours ago returned from Metropolis, the home of Superman.
Well, yeah.
It's Metropolis, Illinois, which I don't think that that's actually where Metropolis was. And there are no skyscrapers and there's no Daily Planet. But it is Metropolis. And somehow, out of all the Metropolises in the United States, Metropolis, Illinois, got the rights to be the home of Superman and to have the Superman celebration once a year. Now, I grew up in this area, and surprisingly, this is the first time. In fact, it's 20 miles from where I live. And surprisingly, this is the first time I've ever gone.
Really?
Yes. I just always thought that it would be kind of a cheesy, you know, half-assed type of thing that I just didn't really pay much attention to.
Yeah.
And I guess I should have, or maybe they just started actually upping their game a few years ago. I don't know when it happened, but they actually get good guests. And in this case, they had Dean Cain, who was from Lois and Clark, and Billy Dee Williams, who I don't think has anything to do with Superman, but he was Two-Face in one of the Batman movies of the original series. And of course, he is Lando Calrissian. And also Valerie Perrine was there, but I didn't see her. She was Miss Tessmacher in the Christopher Reeve movies. She was the assistant to Lex Luthor, Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor. I just remember him. I'll always remember that name because I always remember him yelling, "Miss Tessmacher!"
She's almost like a Harley Quinn type of character without powers.
Less malicious.
She's
with Lex Luthor because he can keep her supplied in diamonds and furs and whatnot. But anyway, she was there. I didn't get to see her. For some reason, Jerry the King Lawler, the wrestler, was there. I also didn't see him. I remember him from when I used to be into wrestling as a kid, but I didn't see him.
Well, I remember him from when Andy Kaufman wrestled him or made fun of him, you know.
Oh, was he the one that...
Yeah, he was the one that he started that big, huge wrestling war with, and that Jerry the King Lawler.
See, that might have been interesting then if people were asking him about that, but I don't know, maybe no one remembers that now. You did, but I didn't. Let's see here, who else was there? I think that was it, except for the guest that I was most excited to see, and that is Sophie Aldred, who played Ace in the final season of Doctor Who with Sylvester McCoy.
Oh, neat.
Yes.
And you just got your picture with Sylvester McCoy. You just met him at the Indie Pop Con.
Exactly.
Nice.
So it was very serendipitous that I had no idea she was going to be there. I just happened to look. A friend of mine from Carbondale, basically messaged me a few weeks ago and said, "Hey, do you want to go to the Superman celebration?" I was like, "Well, I guess I probably should, since I've never gone before, and I should go down there and check it out." Plus, after, you know, Indie Pop Con was basically my first real convention of that sort, I got a taste for it. I had such a good time there. I was like, okay, well, let's see what this is all about. And to sum it up, it's really, I mean, it's, you know, obviously nowhere near like what Indie PopCon is. Very, very much smaller than that. It's kind of like a microcosm PopCon with lots of funnel cakes.
Nice. Okay.
And there were lots of funnel cakes. It was kind of like a county fair type thing almost.
Right.
But you know, you have all these, there weren't actually as many cosplayers as I would have liked to have seen. And most of the ones that I was seeing, their costumes were like, you know, off the rack type costumes. I didn't see. There were a few people that looked like they actually made their costume and they were pretty decent. But I mean, you know, after seeing what people were doing at PopCon, I mean, the bar was set pretty high. So I wasn't really super impressed with a lot of the cosplay that was going on there, but I was, you know, I'm glad that people were actually putting forth the effort. I just would have liked to seen a little bit more and would have liked to seen a little more handmade stuff than, you know, store-bought costumes.
Right.
But it was fun, you know, and there was lots of stuff to do. Here's the thing. I wanted to get Billy Dee Williams' autograph. I wanted him to write "Works Every Time" on my, you know, for my autograph, and I seriously was going to ask him to do it
for the Colt 45 commercials.
exactly. And but here's the thing, is like, they started giving out, you had to get a ticket to get in line for the autographs.
Okay.
And they gave those out at 7 o'clock in the morning. Can you believe that? 7 o'clock.
No.
So get there exactly right, and I mean, we got there like a little after 9, and I mean, the vendor, you know, all the even the funnel cake places weren't even open. They were, you know, it was just, there was almost no one around there. But when we get to the Chamber of Commerce where they give out the tickets, it says all out of
autograph tickets. I was like, what? So I guess a bunch of people must have shown up at 7 o'clock, wow, stood in line, got their tickets, and then went back home to sleep for two more hours. That's yeah, all I can think of.
That had to have been it. Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So we didn't get the autographs, but we did get Q&A in like the big tent.
Mm-hmm.
So we did get to see both him and Billy Dee Williams and King Kane, mm-hmm, answering Q&A, and we weren't too far from the stage, so that was pretty cool. I'm not like a huge Dean Cain fan. Is actually, I from what I've heard, I think he's like a really hardcore right wing nut.
Oh, is that right?
I've heard that. I don't know that for a fact, but I've heard that on the internet. But he didn't say anything that led me to believe that at the interview. He seemed a nice guy, whatever, and answered everyone's questions. But Billy Dee Williams, of course, the first question from the audience was the one that I wanted to know, and that's, I hate the way people ask these questions at these conventions. I mean, I just want to slap them. It was like, what do you think of the new Star Wars movie? What do you think? What are they going to answer to what do you think? Ask a specific question. Mm-hmm. But he did manage to get around to what I wanted to know, which is, are you going to be in the new Star Wars? And the answer, unfortunately, is no. And I was, and both me and my friend Kenny that I was there with were just like, our jaws dropped. It's like, really? They're like bringing back all the other classic characters, but not Lando Calrissian?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, okay, he wasn't in A New Hope, but he was a major player in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, he's still alive. He's still acting. He obviously would be interested in doing it. So, J.J. Abrams, why are you not asking Billy Dee Williams to reprise his role in the new Star Wars movie?
Really?
Even if it's just a cameo, let us just see his face so that we know, I mean, I don't know. I was really disappointed by that, but yeah, maybe they just started shooting, so maybe there's still hope that they'll bring him in for a cameo or something. And if not, maybe he'll be in one of the other movies, because they're, this is a big multi-picture deal that they're doing, so.
And you never know, could be a name drop in that first one.
Yeah.
Just name drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, it's not the same, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm right. Just, and I love Lando Calrissian. I mean, he's like the great counterpart to Han Solo,
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see that something develop there. But but it was cool to be able to see him. He looks obviously a lot older as all the Star Wars people do now.
Well, see, I always pictured Lando as like the smarmy version of Han Solo. He was the guy. Well, Han Solo with Colt 45. That's what he was. Exactly. Works every time.
Well, he was always a little more of the scruffier nerf herder than Han Solo was. Whereas Han loved to say that he didn't care about anyone but himself, but he, that never lasted very long. If they, when put down to the wire, he would always, he would always do something that was selfless,
right,
even though he said he would.
Right.
Whereas, of course, Lando Calrissian actually was more self-concerned than Han Solo and sold them out to, to the Empire, but then he turned around and tried to rescue them. So, I always liked that dynamic. And of course, Empire Strikes Back, by almost every fan's estimation, is the best of the original trilogy. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, hopefully we'll see something happen there.
So what happened with you and Ace today?
Yes, that was the highlight of my day.
Uh-huh.
So we went down there after hearing the Dean King Q&A, and I was really saddened to see, it started at 2 o'clock, the Q&A, and then they did afterwards, they had a raffle, which I'll tell you about, which was a very interesting raffle. But we get there like at 10 minutes till 2, and there's like five people there.
What?
And I was like, oh, this is really sad. This is embarrassing,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, earlier in the day, we went through and got the autograph, and, I posed with for a picture with her, which I've got on my Facebook page, and they had, photos of her that she would sign for, $25. It was actually $25 for the photo with the autograph, and then $20 for a photo op, but you had to take it yourself with the, or there was a girl there that would use your cell phone to take the picture. But considering the prices of what I paid at Indie PopCon, that was actually not bad.
Right.
Yeah, because it was going to cost me, I got the picture with Sylvester McCoy, and it was going to cost for 60, and it was or 50, I think it was, and it was going to cost me an additional 40 just to get him to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, $90? No, I'm just going to make do with the photograph.
Yeah.
So yeah, for $45 to get an autograph picture and get my picture taken with her, that was okay. So we did that early in the day, and it looked like there were quite a few few people lined up for that, and then we came back and there's like 5 people there. So I was like, oh, this is really bad, you know. Fortunately, after she started the Q&A, people started to filter in, and by the end of it, there was at least 50 or 60 people.
Oh,
there.
Good. So okay.
Yeah, it worked out. But the you know, she was just a darling. I mean, she was so sweet and just answered every question and went on. I mean, didn't just answer little short answers. She went into detail about everything that people asked her. And I actually asked her 2 questions. My questions were, what was her audition process for Ace, which was an interesting anecdote. And then the other one was, what was it like at the end? Because she was the last companion and McCoy was the last doctor. And interestingly, John Nathan Turner, the producer, kept it from them and didn't tell them until basically shooting was done. So she didn't find out till after the shooting wrapped, and she thought she was going to be coming back for the next season, and then she got the notification that nope, the show's been canceled. Yeah, I was hoping to get some inside information, like, you know, why they would do something so completely idiotic,
right?
As canceled Doctor Who,
right.
And I still don't understand that. I mean, I'm sure I know that the ratings weren't as high at their high point, but they weren't terribly low either,
right?
And I mean, the fact is that, you know, Doctor Who is a historic icon of the BBC and is not only the longest running sci-fi show in history, I think it may be the longest running series in history. So for them to just, you know, after 30 years to say, no, we're not going to do it anymore, just seems absolutely insane to me. And then, of course, for the next 20 years, it was like every 5 years you'd hear the rumor, oh, they're going to start the show back again. No, just a rumor. And then they made that horrendous Fox TV movie with Paul McGann. Paul McGann was good.
Yeah.
He's a good actor.
But he didn't have a good script behind him.
No, he did not. And Eric Roberts is the master.
Oh, that God, just, yes, that's
that
right.
That just proved how ridiculous and how clueless that the Fox executives were about what series they had on their hands.
Yeah.
It could have been really well done. But we've had this discussion about why Americans should not get their hands on British TV shows before.
Right.
But fortunately, you know, after all that, after 20 years, the show did come back. And she's a fan of the show. She watches the new Doctor Who, and you know, she answered questions about that as well. But anyway, after about 45 minutes, 50 minutes of Q&A, they had a raffle, which I bought 6 tickets for. And here's what the deal was. And this was just completely awesome that whoever thought of it and was able to get her to agree to it was just, they're just pure awesome. Okay. Someone made a Dalek. It was not nearly as nice of a Dalek as the one we saw at the PopCon.
Right.
But it was good enough for the purposes that they had designed it for. So they roll this sucker out, and if you've seen, you know, the last season of Doctor Who, you know, before it was canceled, then you saw Remnants of the Daleks, which a lot of people consider to be one of the better Dalek episodes. But there was and it's been years since I saw it, but there was this coffin of sorts that had some sort of power source in it, and they imbued this baseball bat with this power source. And so for like the rest of the episode, Ace, who is a very physical companion anyway and loves to blow things up, and she's just always like, you know, jumping into the fray before the doctor can tell her not to, she's running around like bashing Daleks with this thing and you know, bashing them to pieces, which is funny because, you know, you can't kill a Dalek even with a machine gun, but with this baseball bat that's imbued with a special power, she's like bashing them left and right. So someone had the idea that they would have her recreate this by having her beat the crap out of this Dalek that they had made in front of the gathered audience, and then they would have her autograph the bat and auction it off to some lucky winner. And
nice.
The proceeds from the, or not auction, it was a raffle. The proceeds went to a local charity that feeds homeless people. So it was, you know, a good cause.
Nice.
And I mean, she just didn't think about it. I mean, this could have been an insurance liability. Her agent could have said, no, you don't want to do this. You could get hurt. You know, there could be people, bystanders could get hurt. In fact, when she started swinging that bat, I backed up a little bit. I was like, oh, I'm going to get hit with a piece of Dalek here. But she tore into this thing with such gusto. She had such a good time. And because she was having such a good time, the crowd was having a great time. And I mean, she'd like knocked it over at one point, and she's like standing on top of it, just bashing it with this bat. It was just 100 different kinds of awesome. And luckily, I mean, I got probably 20 or 30 pictures, plus I videotaped the whole thing, and you know, this is going to be something I'm going to treasure. But
you're going to share
that.
That
was that was the highlight.
Yeah, you're going to have to share that on the Nerd Up Podcast Facebook page.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I'll definitely do that.
Well, I was just looking up real quick here. I was looking up, and you can get an Ace action figure with the baseball bat from Doctor Who Toys.
Awesome.
I might have to get one now. It all comes out to a great ending where you, Eric Billingsley, won the baseball bat.
I wish. I so wish.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be so cool to have that baseball bat. That, I mean, think of like all the different Doctor Who items that you could have.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, maybe Matt Smith's fez or Tom Baker's scarf might be cooler than that, but that's got to be among one of the coolest items that you could possibly, you know, get from a, you know, from a Doctor Who star.
Right. Well, see, here's the way I'm thinking. What if, to borrow a Marvel phrase, but if you'd have won that, just think you'd have had the picture of Sylvester McCoy in you, Ace in you, and the autographed baseball bat. That would have been one heck of a shadow box.
Oh, yes. And but, actually, that made me realize, and also I picked up a few other things, which I'm going to tell you about here, that I need a display case. I'm getting all these things now from the conventions,
mm-hmm.
and I have no place to put them. I mean, I've got other stuff that I've accumulated before that, you know, like little statuettes from Lord of the Rings, and mm-hmm. I got a bunch of little bric-a-brac that I have no place to display. I also have, like, I think, like 6 or 7 plateaus and action figures from the show Lost that were designed by Todd McFarlane, and they're really, really nice, and they all are voice activated, so you can click something on the plateau and it'll say, you know, a number of things from the characters. So it's in a box in my basement and I have nowhere to put it, so I need to get a display case.
Uh-huh.
And so I picked up 3 things, even though I told myself I wasn't going to spend that kind of money. But one thing is I was looking for, I don't know if I told you, Gil, when we were at the PopCon, I wanted a Dalek that talked.
Right.
And I mean, is that asking for that much? I mean, you know, the Dalek's voice is like part of its appeal. And they had, you know, Doctor Who North America had a huge booth there.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the guys, like, do you have any talking Daleks? I don't think we have any here. What? What's the matter with you? So anyway, I've been kind of on a quest to find one. And sure enough, there was a vendor room, which wasn't even advertised. I just stumbled on this place and I was like, oh, my God, I didn't even know this place was here. I had all kinds of cool toys and comic books and collectibles there. And sure enough, I found this. So
nice.
It was $40, but I had to have it. And I was like, okay, you know, I talked myself into a corner here. I said, I want a talking Dalek. And now I finally found one. I have to buy it. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Nice.
But I don't want to take any of the stuff out of its packaging and because I, you know,
right.
they are collectibles and the packaging is pretty cool and you can see the items inside. And in this case, you know, it's got a cutout so you can actually hit the button. So I think I'll probably leave it in its packaging and
just hit the
other
button
two
every
things
so
I
often.
Got. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, of course.
So what else did you get?
And I got they had these Game of Thrones figurines that were really nice, very detailed. And the one I got was of Daenerys Khaleesi. The face doesn't quite match hers. Isn't exactly like I would have liked it. Her face is, the actress's face is a little fuller and the face of the figure is a little too gaunt. But it is very detailed, though, and I mean, the rest of the body is very detailed, and it's just, I mean, it was beautiful. As soon as I saw it, it caught my eye. I was like, wow, that's gonna be very expensive, because a lot of these collector's item figurines were going for like $150, $250, $300. The really detailed ones were,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, this has got to be at least $50 or $60, I'm sure. It was only $25, so like, okay, I'll take that for $25. And the other thing I got was those little, you've seen those little pop dolls.
Oh, yeah,
they're called Pop.
The Pop vinyls, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They got the big heads, and they've got them for just about every popular movie or TV series. Well, I saw them online a few weeks ago that they got one for Ash from the Evil Dead movies.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, I got to have that. It's got the little chainsaw from the arm, you know, and the shotgun. And so they had a whole bunch of them there. I was like, I didn't see the one for Ash. So I asked the guy, I was like, do you have Ash? He's like, oh yeah, we've got Ash and we've got the Deadites and we've got a whole bunch of horror ones over in this section. And I was like, oh man, I could sit here and probably buy 10 or 12 of these. I almost bought, they had one for the dude and Walter Sobchak.
Oh man.
That I was very close to buying, but I was like, I better not. I'm spending too much money as it is. So those were my three collectibles, you know, on top of the autographed picture and stuff that I got from Sophie Aldred. But
nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time. I should have worn sunscreen because I am red as a lobster.
Well, yeah, that one is an outdoor event.
And one other cool thing was that when Billy Dee Williams was on, they had an interpreter doing sign language, ASL.
Uh-huh.
And she was dressed as Wonder Woman. So, and I mean, she was hot too. So it was cool. You've got this hot Wonder Woman doing ASL for the translations. And that was kind of a cool little bonus thing.
Did she have the bracelets on? Was she actually blocking bullets? Just wondering.
Yeah, she had a decent costume.
Well, I think we may have to plan on going down there together next year. Cause it's not, I mean, that's about a 2-3 hour drive for me, maybe about the same as it would be going to Indy from where I am now. So I think we might have to make a plan for going there next year.
It's free. You don't have to pay to get in.
Oh, is that right? Didn't realize that.
It's just you show up.
Wow. All right. We're gonna. If I'd have known that, I might have been heading down there this morning. But all right. Tell you what, next year you and I will be there for sure.
Yeah, I'll go again.
Well, of course, it all depends on who they have as guests next year. How was the turnout for this?
Not bad. It was, like I said, when we got there this morning, it was like there was no one around, and I was like, oh, this is not good. But as all the vendors started opening up and stuff, and by 11 o'clock, it was pretty, it was never crowded, and I like that. I didn't want to be fighting crowds, but there was a good crowd there, you know, by 11 o'clock, and yeah, it was just the right amount of people, you know, that it seemed like there were, it was a decent attendance, but not crowded so that you were having to fight through throngs of people to get where you wanted to go. So
right.
Just about right.
Well, maybe next year, maybe we'll also look into podcasting from there.
Oh, there's a thought.
Like they did at PopCon.
Also, I ran into I don't remember if you were with us. I know Tim Matson was with me. We ran into an artist, or we were talking to an artist on the vendor floor at PopCon. And as soon as we went into this artist area, and I heard this voice, I was like, that voice sounds familiar. And I walked around the corner, and I was like, it's totally that dude I talked to at PopCon. And sure enough, yeah. So it was kind of cool.
All right, that's it. We'll make a plan, try to be there next year. So
yeah.
But it's definitely worthwhile then, huh?
Yeah, I had a good time. Like I said, it's nowhere near what PopCon is. But, you know, as long as there's a celebrity there that you're interested in hearing from and getting an autograph from, there, you know, there's a small vendor area that's got some cool stuff and plenty of funnel cakes.
Gotta have them funnel cakes. So yeah. Well, yeah. I tell you what. A couple of years ago, I saw that they had the original Lois Lane from the TV show and Jimmy Olsen. I think, is that right?
Yeah.
It was a few years ago, and I saw that. And I'm like, well, that'd have been kind of cool. But that was about it. And then you say when you told me you were heading down there, and you said Billy Dee Williams is going to be there. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand Dean Cain. But Billy, okay, maybe they're kind of branching out. And again, with Ace from Doctor Who, I mean, come on, they're really branching out.
Yeah, I think they are doing that. I think that they're, I mean, they will, I think they'll always have guests, you know, that are related to the movie or to the TV show or to Batman in some way or form.
Yeah.
But I think it behooves them to bring in other guests from other fantasy and pop culture areas because it's just going to increase their audience.
Yeah,
you know?
And it all blends in anyway.
Yeah.
When maybe next year they'll have Ben Affleck.
Now, that would be a get.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Glad to hear that you had a good time there. And like I said, we'll make plans on it next year, and we'll start working on that. Because that would be kind of, like I said, maybe we can talk them into podcasting from there like they did at Indie PopCon. I mean, there were podcasters left and right at Indie PopCon.
Any at this point. All right. No, that's what I was going to say. You get in them while the iron's hot, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Because, I mean, I'm sure it's just a matter of time before someone's podcasting from there. Might as well be us.
Right, exactly. So, all right, we'll work on that. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to talk about video games. Let's do that real quick. Steam Boy Project and the Steam Box. Eric, I'll let you talk about the Steam Box, and then Brandon, you jump in with the Steam Boy, because Eric, you posted something about it recently. What was that about the Steam Box?
Well, Alienware has been kind of, you know, promoting that they, you know, they're one of the vendors that is, I think there are like 19 different vendors that have agreed to make these Steam Boxes. And so far, none of them have really been 100% Steam Boxes. And this one, even this one, is going to be running Windows. So because Gabe Newell still hasn't finalized a Steam OS yet.
Right.
So it's and of course, they still haven't finalized their controller either. So I guess you could say that this is still not 100% a Steam Box, mm-hmm. but it is designed from the ground up to be a to run as a Steam Box. Okay. Although it can, since it's running Windows, it can run other things as well. But it's, you know, it looks, I mean, I didn't see a size comparison, but cosmetically it looks quite a bit like a, you know, like an Xbox One. It's got a custom GPU in it. Mm-hmm. The graphics card is an NVIDIA card, but it's custom made, so it's really hard for me to get a handle on how powerful it is and what to compare it to. Wow. I'm sure that as this, you know, as it, you know, comes closer to release, that we'll probably get some comparisons to existing cards so we know what to expect. But the big thing is the price tag. It's like $550.
That's
so
not bad.
You know, you're talking, no, you're talking just a little bit more than a console.
Yeah.
And if it's got a decent video card in it and can run, you know, PC games at, you know, at least at 3/4 full tilt, if not full tilt, then, you know, that's exactly what they've been looking for, is to, you know, to, in, as far as making inroads into the console market. And
yeah.
That's what it's going to take. So
cool.
I'm interested to see where it goes.
That definitely would be definitely looking into that one. But here's what intrigues me most. And Brandon, you brought this one up. Tell us a little more about it. The Steam Boy?
Yeah, it's called the Steam Boy. I guess it's a project going on. It's a portable Steam machine, and it's being developed by, they're calling it the Steam Boy Machine Team.
Okay.
It's a third party, not affiliated with Valve, and they have a small YouTube video up of it. It shows off the unit, which it has the Steam controller's trackpads on it with the A, B, X, Y style buttons of like a Xbox 360 controller. And it has a nice big screen, kind of like the Wii U's gamepad. But the hardware they're talking about in it, it should feature a quad-core processor, 4 gigs of RAM, and a 32 gigabyte built-in memory card. And the screen on it will actually be a touchscreen as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and it will be able to access Wi-Fi, and talk of it having 3G as well.
Oh, that makes it even more portable. But yeah, a touchscreen, that's intriguing too, because I always wondered about watching Isaac play Steam games on, you know, on the computer there. It's like, oh, that'd be so cool if you had a touchscreen. You could actually, you know, do some certain things. But that's nice. That's nice. And any idea on what they're looking at the cost of this, and if they... I mean, Alienware looks like about, what, $550, I think is what you said, Eric, $550?
Yeah.
So, I don't...
Any ideas on this one yet?
I don't know about the cost, but
it's still in the works, though, right?
Yeah, it's still in the works, but they're looking at somewhere in 2015 for a release on it.
Oh, really? So, okay.
This was shown off at E3, which I didn't keep up with a lot of E3 news, but this kind of intrigued me because I always like to see, you know, something from the, from the computer standpoint, mm-hmm. make way more toward the mainstream, you know what I mean? Because PC gaming's kind of, everybody's worried about consoles. I think
something similar, and I showed this to Gil when we were at the PopCon. I've got a portable device called an NVIDIA Shield,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which is, you know, kind of like a prototype, I think, for what you're talking about with this Steam Boy. The thing is it doesn't play PC games locally. Yeah, it does. It plays Android games locally, and it's got a really nice processor and graphics chip in it. But what it does is you can stream games from your PC, from your gaming PC, both over your network. And there was an update that came out not long ago that lets you stream it over the internet. So let's say that you're out somewhere, and you're, as long as your computer at home is turned on, and you've configured it to link up over the internet, you can play your here's the big the caveat for me, because I have crappy upload speed. I have 0.5 or 0.7 megabyte upload, and you've got to have a really decent upload connection because your PC is going to be uploading all those graphics to stream to your Shield. But it's still, you know, if you do have the bandwidth for it, supposedly you can go anywhere with your Shield and play games streaming from your PC. So, I mean, it doesn't even matter what the hardware is in the device because it's streaming, you know, the main work's being done on your gaming PC. So as long as you've got a decent video card and whatever in your PC, that's the only limit, really.
Well, one thing I was noticing, I just looked at a video real quick of the Steam Boy prototype. Like your NVIDIA, which is an awesome, fun handheld device. I loved it, Eric. I was jealous. I was trying to stick it in my suitcase that you wouldn't notice, but you didn't, you know. anyway, it looks basically like an Xbox controller with a flip screen. The screen flips. That was really, and it was really nice. It held, you know, you could, it felt good in the hands, basically. Well, the Steam Boy looks more like a PSP.
Yeah.
In its design. So it's got the flat, you know, and then the toggles on the left and right. So it looks a lot like a PSP. Interesting way to do that one. So, but I did like the way the NVIDIA looked, Eric, because it felt like a controller. And that's one thing I love about console playing is I love to hold the controller in my hand. I had a hard time with the Wii for the longest time because of those nunchucks. I could never get used to them. But when the Wii U came out with the pad, the pad felt like a controller more, and I liked it. I mean, sure, with the Wii, you could hook up an old Game Boy controller, and it was not as great, but it was all right. But with the Wii U, they came out with it. But that, anyway, that's what I liked about your NVIDIA, Eric, was the feel of it. It felt like a controller, and the graphics on the screen were just beautiful. I mean, it was a nice little screen. But anyway,
yeah, it's well balanced. It does sit in the hands really well.
Yeah. But this Steam Boy looks like a PSP, and I like my PSP, original PSP, not the PSP 1, was it? Where they had the touch screen on the front and back.
So. Oh, that's the Vita.
That's Vita, yeah.
Yeah, the PSP Vita, that's what it was. But yeah, I didn't care too much for that one. It felt bulky, because they did make it a little bit bigger. But my PSP, I love it. It's fun. So, yeah, well, I can't wait to see what the next generation of handhelds are going to be, and looks like Steam is going to be it. One way or another, unless NVIDIA decides to make theirs a little bit better somehow, some way.
One little quick note, I was going to say about gaming, Infinite Crisis, Atrocitus is coming to it, so I'm really excited for that.
The original Red Lantern.
I did want to bring up something else, too, is the Battlefield, the new Battlefield game is a complete departure. It's it looks like a cops and robber type game. It's not military at all. It's called Battlefield Hardline, and it's in beta now, and you can sign up to be a beta tester, either, you know, on console or PC or whatever you want. So I don't have the web address in front of me, but if you Google, if you go to DICE or EA, I'm sure you could probably get a link to sign up to be a beta tester. So that's kind of cool. Also, there at E3, they showed a trailer from the new Tomb Raider game. Wow, I got chills. I mean, have you guys played the Tomb Raider reboot?
No, I have not. I've seen it. Oh. Well, I've seen demos on videos and YouTube videos and stuff. But wait,
you need to.
Okay, well before I go any further, I got to tell you, Eric, I'm on a campaign now. Nobody needs to Google anything anymore. It's DuckDuckGo. that's the new search engine. They do not track like Google does. They do not track and report like Google does. So there you go. Duck, duck, go. And that, try that. Okay.
Duck, duck, go.
There's my political stance for the moment. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, you guys really have to play that. It's one of the best games of last year. It really is just amazing. And I mean, it didn't get the attention that it really deserved because I consider it to be like one of the top two or three games of last year. But you've got to play it. It's not anything like the original Tomb Raider series, and I think that's some people complained about that.
Yeah,
and
I would be.
and Square is listening, and they are going to do, and the new one is supposed to have more in common with the original gameplay than this one did. But it's actually, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with this, but people were calling it a Lara Croft version of, what is the PS3?
Uncharted?
Uncharted, yes. And there's some of the gameplay is very similar to it, but it's I like the Uncharted games, but I thought that the Tomb Raider game was much better than any of the Uncharted games.
Well, see, I've been a fan of the Tomb Raider games ever since the first one came out. I mean, I was just dying for the day for the graphics to catch up with that game, because ever since game one of the whole Tomb Raider series, it's just been really cool puzzles, action, yeah, and everything. And I've just been waiting for the graphics to catch up, and that's what I was hoping for this time. But
it's there, and there, and I don't want to say that it's nothing like the original, but it's I think that they were because it's a reboot and because they are using a drastically different type of engine, I think that they're feeling their way. But they got a lot of input from diehard Tomb Raider fans. They're like, you know, there's not enough tombs, and there's not enough puzzle solving.
Yeah.
And the other complaint that I had was that there were too many QuickTime events, which I hate. QuickTime events. They need to be stricken from every game, period. They're just ridiculous. Okay, hit the X button. Now hit the B button. Hit the X button. Hit the B button.
Yeah.
Now hold the Y button.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it takes me out of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is one of those games, and this is part of why you need to play the game. The story is really, really strong. Not quite as much as like in BioShock Infinite, but you just really, really feel for the character. I mean, Lara Croft takes so much abuse in this game. It's just you really feel bad for this character. And so when she comes out on top, you know, it's a little bit of a spoiler, then, you know, you really feel it. You feel every moment of the game. But the second game, like I said, they're saying that they're listening to the fans, they're putting a lot more tombs into it, putting a lot more puzzle solving, a lot more of the mechanics that made the original game so successful. But if you watch the trailer, especially after having played the first game, it just, like I said, it gave me chills. And I cannot wait for it to come out. I mean, a couple more quick items is, if you're a PC gamer like me and you've been holding it, well, I haven't been holding out. I played through Red Dead Redemption and the zombie add-on game. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the best games that Rockstar has ever done. I thought that they blew away every one of their GTA games just because the story, and I don't know, it worked. The whole thing worked really well. But I wanted it on PC. I want better graphics. I want expanded functionality that only you can get on a PC. Well, they're finally going to supposedly release it on PC. I haven't seen anything official, but I've heard it, you know, gossip in quite a few places that I think it's going to happen. And they came out at E3 and said they are definitely going to be doing GTA 5 for the PC and for the next gen consoles, and they're going to be definitely souping it up for the PC version. So, good news for PC gamers.
All right, then. I guess we'll just close out this podcast, because I got some gaming to check out and I've got a birthday party to get to. Now, next week, Eric, you're suggesting of watching The Hidden. But we were going to analyze that. Tim Coker just posted on Facebook that he wanted to be in on tonight's podcast because he wanted to talk about The Hidden. Well, let's save that for next week, because A, I haven't seen it yet. And Brandon, if you want to take part in this, we're all trying to watch the movie The Hidden. It is streaming
for rental from a number of different places. If you're a high definition snob like I am, you can only see it in high def on Amazon.
Okay.
And it's $3.99 to rent it for 48 hours. It's $6.99 to just buy it outright. So I was like, since it's not even available anywhere else, even on Blu-ray in high def, I was like, I like the movie. So I went in and bought it. But you can, if you want to watch it in SD, you can rent it for, I think, as cheap as $2.99 from like Vudu. So it's out there. It's available. Right. It's just not streaming for free on like Netflix or anything right now.
All right. So Brandon, if you want to join that conversation next week on the podcast, see if you can find a way to get that The Hidden. It stars Kyle MacLachlan, and it's really supposed to be a good movie. I haven't seen it yet. Eric, you're the one that brought this up, right?
Yeah, I don't want to set your expectations too high. It's not like a, you know, completely, you know, earth-shattering original film. It's just, it's really enjoyable. It's very dated. That especially the cost that the what people are wearing is very, very 80s, and I'm just like very aware of that the whole time. The music is very 80s. It's an interesting story, and there's some really good acting in it by certain actors if you're looking for it. But I'll go deeper into that when we discuss the
Sounds
movie.
Sounds good. All right, so if you want to get in, Brandon, check that out, see if you can get that this week. So, all right, then. Let's end the podcast on that note. And so that's what you can look forward to in the next one, is we'll be talking about the movie The Hidden and a whole lot more craziness as well. So we'll close out the podcast. I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can reach me on Twitter, at Gil Wilson. Or don't forget, you can always tweet the Nerd Up Podcast, at Nerd Up Podcast.
I'm Brandon Bell. You can tweet me at Brandon J. Bell.
Eric Billingsley, you can tweet me at Eric Bill, E-R-I-C-B-I-L-L.
All right, so get a hold of us somehow, some way. We'll feature on the next podcast. Don't forget, you can always leave a voicemail message on the nerduppodcast.blogspot.com page, and we'll play that on the next podcast as well. So in the meantime, folks, stay nerdy.
Nerd Up Podcast.
www.gilwilson.com.
If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.